Yeah. ability, you've got to be able to put that round bat on that round ball. That Williams theory was, when you get that picture of him caught, you don't take it, you don't miss it, you don't foul it off.
You hit it, you don't miss it or foul it, you hit it.
It's hard. He said, well, I got to go up there, and he goes, they say, well, they swing and they miss it, or they foul it off, or they freeze. He said, that's not hitting. When you get your pitch, you got to get it. Well, William, DiMaggio, Musial, I name all of the great hitters that I've played with. They go back four times, and they hit the ball hard three times. I don't mean that three, that's a thing. But they hit the ball hard three times, and that gives you a much better chance than a guy that pops it up three times, or it's a weak ground ball.
That's it.
With you, in your experience, in a normal minor league game, you're going back four times. How much sin? To sin and sin to receive.
Yes.
Yeah, I do. I see people driving down the street.
Trying to talk on them things?
Yeah, sure. Jim, they can't do all
of it. There they are. We just went all apart. They were just going
to work. He was like, oh, that's right. And just drive in crazy. The whole world's cutting in out of traffic with us all. As long as they caught them a cigarette.
Well, of course, kind of the things I'd like to want to know about your career, but one thing that you said twice, Bob, I want to say, $45,000 a year, the 1951,
1950. I left the league in 49.
Yeah.
And you got the pay raise. In 1930 to 1948, I was making 35. I left the league. I got raised from 35 to 45. Since 37. third base in the American League, got something like 300,000 votes. So, you know, you put together 4 or 5 years, getting over 300, making an all-star here, you're going to get the vote. They vote by name. Like I told somebody, I should have made the all-star team in 46. But I had never hit 300 in the big league. And I made it the last 2 years I played, and I shouldn't have made it. $6,500. And I called getting 8,500 off the reel. Then at the end of the season, I was 3.2. He gave me a $2,500 bonus. So I really made 11,000. So that's how I got started. Then I came back the next year, 47. With 320, drove in 93 runs, which led to trouble hitting and runs batted in, and made the All-Star game. And all that was how much money he won. I don't remember exactly what 78 was about. And he gave it to me, and at the end of the year, gave me another 2,500. So that's how I got up there to 85. I was up to 35 before I left the league and hit it. And it was easy to jump up to 45.
So from that point on, do you feel like, say, from 51, 2, or 3, through about 55 or
6? I do still work. I've lost, but I could tell that I was 30 years old then and felt like I was making good money and everybody was good to me, and I wasn't going to make a big issue out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were still giving me, I was still getting 2,500 at the end of the year, and I met the All-Star team, and my other 300. So I went on to put a little over in the more money. So it would have been too good for me.
I think. Then you really didn't have a lot of exposure. You call it Mr. Mack, but come to that. Beyond that, beyond those first years, they brought you up out of the last half, I believe you said. Did you have much exposure to him after that?
No.
What was your opinion of him
as an individual? Well, I had a lot of exposure to him. When my brother Skeeter was only about 18, he came to Detroit to work out with the Tigers, and he'd been to college 1 year, and my dad said that he could sign a major league contract with Detroit or whoever, but they had pretty good college. I want that's his bonus. I want to see him go to college. And so he was working out with the Tigers, and Mr. Mack was in town to Philadelphia. This was 47 or 8, and exactly that year. And Mr. Mack called me over to the dugout, and he said, "That's your brother out there?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I like the way he plays." He said, "Is he going to, Tiger going to sign him?" I said, "I don't think so. Like, he's been here for a week or two, and they haven't all been around that." And he said, "What does he want to sign him?" And I said, "He doesn't want anything, but his daddy, my daddy, said that whoever signs is going to have 72 college. And he'll go in the offseason. He'll play ball and go to college. Might take him 5 years." He said, "I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll sign him right now." He said, "I took a chance on one deal and it turned out." And so he signed him that day with the provision that I'll pay you tuition and we'll go through college. And he got his degree and everything else. And in the offseason.
Well, that proves that it's not that your father though too.
Yeah, he wanted him to go to school.
Yeah.
Of course, he wanted me to go to school too. I went 1 year and then went on to professional baseball. And I promised him I'd go back to college and I never got to back to college.
Oh, you never went back?
No, I just got caught up in base.
Sure.
The first thing I know, I signed when I was 17. And when I was 20, I was playing for Mr. Mack at the end of the season. You know, it just happened fast.
So you had high regard for Tom Mack?
Yes, oh yes. He's the most respected man I've ever known. He never uttered a oath in his life. He was never got on a ball player. He would get on you in a nice way.
Oh,
Mr. Kell, what were you thinking? What were you thinking when you did that? Mr. Newsom, Bobo Newsom, I think, who was 40 years old, vision was, and I know Bobo one guy jumped on one of the outfielders because they were all going to work on the outfield, and he was eating him up, and Mr. Mack went down and told him, "That's enough, stop it." And he said, "Well, you put up right." And Mr. Mack said, "Well, of course, feathers."
That's a new one. I've heard him come to issue an oath of any
one else. Oh, he was a gentleman gentleman. And the year that he gave me $1,000 bonus at the end of to go in and see his son, Earl, who was a coach on the club. And he just told me one day in an offhand way, he said, Daddy really likes the way you play. You're here every day to play every day and to play hard. And he said he's going to give you $1,000 bonus at the end of the year. Before that $1,000 in 1945 was a lot of money. Somebody didn't have any money and was making $5,000 a year. Well, on the season was over, I stayed around Philadelphia for 2 or 3 days. Nobody ever said anything about $1,000 bonus. John Paul, Mr. Mike. And I said, well, why can't I come up and see you? And he said, sure. So I went to his office, and the old ballpark there had a high tower, and his office was up in that tower. And he said, have a seat. And sit down. He just was nice to me, my daddy. And he said, what can I do for you? And I said, well, Earl, that was his son, said that you were going to give me $1,000 bonus at the end of the season. And I really appreciate that, but I haven't gotten it. And he said, Earl said that, I don't remember. I said, well, maybe I'm wrong. I said, but that's for Earl. So he picked up the phone and called Earl, who had an office, and he said, Earl, would you come down here? And he came in and he said, Earl, Mr. Phelps said that you told him I promised him $1,000 bonus for him to see you, but I tell you that. He said, but yes, Dad, you did. You told me you were going to give him $1,000, and I told him. He said, well, you go to Earl, we'll go down and get you $1,000 check. And he did. And that's just simple as that. And that I said, of course, he was 85. He probably didn't remember it that night. If I had said that, if I had never got it, never would have got it. But that's a lot of money to me, and I did. He's forgotten it, and I'm going to remind him. And he was 85 years old then. Yeah, well, 84.
Yeah, current his whole life, that's called
it. Yeah, yeah.
You know, again, that's another one that while I was reading, in fact, I came across several years ago. 10 or 12 years ago, I think a lot of baseball, which is on the ballpark. It had it had several ones. And Eddie Collins had several ones. I've since given it to a friend, and he's, well, it must be here somewhere in Woodlock, or this place somewhere. I can't really know where they were at. I've got one baseball that he signed, but it was so old, and his writing was not the best. His M's look like a W, and his C-O-N-N look like C-O-W-W, and there's one back, and I have treasure that I think that. Have you been checked there? Like, no, it's not in good shape. It's old, and I don't know. I just found it one day in my hospital.
Thank you. hand of doing that.
Something I might have talked to you about some of the players that you played with. I'm still out of control by that
by you doing a lot for all those years. And that exposure that gave you to baseball.
Oh, I don't want to go back to that.
I had met Lawrence Bond on a couple of occasions. And one of the favorite lines that he used that I want to share with you, because I asked you a moment ago about what can you teach about that, about getting. And we agreed that probably the term about giving, the hand-eye coordination, or whatever it is. But it's also, you said that, which player was it? Was it Ted Williams that said that he knew he was on that?
Usual.
So he knew he was on that somewhere between 3:30 and 3:50.
And he did.
He did. Hal Smith told kind of a cute story about that, though, too, about Stan. As I said, he may have been his next or last year. And he had 3:17. And I said, well, he won't shut
up. He had 3:17. He's worn himself.
Yeah. And I said, 40 years. So.
Yeah, I don't know.
What I was going to say about Lawrence Bond, he said, he asked us, myself and Richard, by the way, Hart's was not far from Fort Smith, and I was able to pitch. He wanted there on two different occasions. And he said that he had a question, he looked at myself, Connor was probably not more than about 12 at the time, but he knew something about baseball. He said, son, he said, who has the advantage with the bases loaded? They had a three ball, one strike clock on the head. And he paused a moment, he wrote, naturally you'd say, well, the batter, like the one spot, he didn't think so about whether they had to do that for reason. What his reasoning was, I think it didn't make any difference what the count was, he was just trying to set us up. But I think he always believed that he had the advantage of a hitter because you didn't know what he was going for. And to him, it was that one. I can believe it.
Once,
that's not as good a picture as you'll ever play.
He was crafting a ball.
As it crafted, he didn't throw it as hard as a lot of pitchers. But his curve wasn't as great as a lot of pitchers. But he threw it exactly where he wanted it. If he wanted to put a curve on the outside corner, he put it there. And like you said, on a 3-1 count, he knew what he was going to do and where it was going, and you didn't.
That's exactly right.
And you're pretty much guessing. He's not guessing. You know, Lawrence Bond never won a game in the major leagues till he was 25 or 6 years old. And then he won 300. And, 30, 40, 30, 37.
Yeah.
I think it's the most amazing feat out of the career ever.
Well, it truly is. Remember what, consecutive 11 years?
Oh, yeah. I don't know how many, but 12, 14.
Yeah.
He had all this, and I had a picture of it, and I had a picture from the way I would remember, but he walked us into his coaching room, and he had all this mantle. On this trip, a friend of mine who was a pharmaceutical salesman, who was, like I was at George Brooks, he was at A21. David was left-hander and followed Spock's career from early on. He asked us, he said, what do you see in the significance of these three plaques? And what the best way I know how to describe it, it was like an arm with a glove and a ball set inside of it with an inscription on the ball. And he asked us, and I guess, you know, he didn't know what he was alluding to, what the significance was, Mr. Kell, that it was a commercial ball from his 100, his 200, his 350.
No.
5 years apart.
5 years apart.
5 years apart, give or take a couple months for each one. That's something. That's pretty good. What a year. What do you think?
I know.
Well, when he was, I looked it up one time. He's a hero. He's a hero of mine. I mean, the guy did what he did. But when he was 41 years old or 42, he won over 20.
Now, that's amazing.
Boy,
that's amazing.
He shouldn't need to be pitching them. He's 42. Golly. I was with him at a card show he signed on Saturday, and I signed on Sunday. I mean, there was four each day, four maybe five each day. But he had signed on Saturday. And he came down in the room where we were all waiting to go out to start signing. Say we started 12 o'clock. He signed real quick. And he was going to go to the airport. He stopped by the room. I thought he was signing with us. And he said, oh, hell, I'm good. I'm going home. I said, by going to home, he said, just as fast as I can go.
You sound like me.
You ready to go home?
But as soon as this thing's over, I'll be going back a little rock as fast as I can go. But I sat there and listened to him talk. He intrigues me, I'm telling you. The man has been there. He's done it. And he don't brag about it. He's just been there and he's done it. And I like that. Yeah, I like that. He's amazing. I'm a lot older than Brooks is. But I visit with Brooks, of course we both did, because in my opening remarks at the Hall of Fame, I said, it is almost unbelievable, inconceivable, that two boys would grow up 90 miles apart, same church, same background, same foundation from family, and wind up in Cooperstown on the same day. And that's just what I feel about Warren Spahn, too, and Brooks. They've done it. And yet they don't go around with a badge on their boy, they stood up and bragging to everybody. And I get so fed out with some of these modern golf players that are all up for them. I'm not biased in any way, but the Hall of Fame ball players, I thought you almost got to drag it out of them. I've been there with Yogi Berra, who's one of the great ones. And my wife loved Yogi Berra. When he sits in the lobby, he talks to everybody, shines autographs for everybody. You never know if the guy played more World Series games than anybody in the world ever played. When we watch that show, want to be a millionaire? And one of the questions, for $32,000, who played the most games ever, World Series games? Mickey Mantle, Joe DiMaggio, Yogi Berra, and me. I said, Yogi Berra. And I said, no. We all said, hey, you know. She said, Mickey Mantle. Of course, now she studied. She didn't know baseball and football when we met 6 years ago. That boy, she's one.
She's a fast learner.
And I said, Carolyn, I'm going to give you one more try. I'm going to pass on that. If you say Mickey Mantle. She studied her name. She said, the oldest is older than Mickey Mantle, isn't he? I said, yeah, 3 or 4 years old. She said, came to the major leagues 4 or 5 years before Mickey. I said, yeah. 4 years before I know, maybe five. She said, I'll tell you over there. I said, I'll say you're right.
He reasoned it out easily. Right? Yeah, she figured it out.
Yeah. And she said, I know DiMaggio quit early because I told her DiMaggio quit in 1951. And I said, I'll still play. And Yogi came up in 47. The Yankees won the pennant in 47. And then 5 in a row. 49, 50, 51, 52, 53. And then they missed 54. And then they feel like 5-1 in a row. And I said, and Mantle didn't come up to 51. So he missed those first five. Right, that's where Yogi got more than he did. So right there. And whoever it was just agonizing over the question, and they couldn't. And it was for 32,000. I was hollering, Yogi, Yogi, Yogi.
It was one of those lifelines to you, isn't it?
It was a lifeline. And I said, call me. And he called somebody, and they said, Bell. And he said, well, why do you say Bell? I said, I was going to say Mantle. He said, because Bell came up 5 or 6 years before Mantle did.
Yes.
And they played about the same length of time. He said, okay, I'll take Yogi. That's the way it turned out, because Yogi was up very long, longer than that. And at a time when the just enjoys people. The biggest memorabilia collector in the world that we give them at the Hall of Fame. He asked me, he's asked me so many times to sign. He'll have six baseballs and he'll get everybody to sign. And finally asked me one day, he said, would you go up to the room and sign? I don't want to carry it down there, they're razzing me so much. And I went up to the room and he had a dozen of my pictures he'd gotten somewhere and a dozen balls he wanted me to sign. He said, I don't want to go down there, they're razzing me too.
He wanted to sign, but he didn't want to bring it down there to
sign. And I said, you rascal, if I ever send you a ball or a bat, you sign it, I'll kill you. He said, send me anything you want to. He said, I don't turn nothing down.
He don't either.
I said, oh, he's a nice guy. When Bill Dickey died, you know who Bill Dickey was? And Bill was a good friend of mine. And of course, a real good friend of Yogi's because he was coach of the Yankees the last few years he was there. And when Yogi came up, he was coach, and they had him to work with Yogi because Yogi was a pitcher, the catcher the first 3 or 4 years.
Well,
and Bill worked with him to where he got to be just about as good, if not as good, as Rodriguez at that.
Well,
that's as good as you can get, down on Rodriguez.
Yes.
And we were in California at a golf tournament, a benefit golf tournament for Don Drysdale. The year he died, his wife carried on the golf tournament. And American Airlines went on strike while we were out there. And Bill Dickey's wife called me, and she said, Bill died, and I want you and Yogi to come be pallbearers.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I said, I don't think we can get out of here. And I said, I walked out there to be a pallbearer, Bill, you know, so did Yogi. And I went down and told Yogi, and he said, golly, George, we got to go. And I said, well, if our goal is right, then how are we going to get out of here? The funeral was going to be the next day.
Oh.
And
then we were back at the
funeral.
Okay.
And we were in Los Angeles. We couldn't get out. We couldn't get out. American was not flying. And everything else was booked set up.
Yeah.
Booked solid. And in fact, my wife and I had to stay a couple of extra days. Carol and I, the first year we married, 94. And we had to stay a couple of extra days. And then they got us on a flight on another airport that was about 40 miles from the John Wayne Airport that we were leaving from, which was close to Hotel. And Lord, I didn't know how to get there. We rented a car and I was driving. And we just barely got there in the night. And it wasn't American Airlines. They put us on Continental. And when I ran up to the counter and I dropped those American Airlines tickets down, they said, we got your reservation, got everything set, but you've got to go down to American County, and they've got to certify this, and I don't know what all they had to do. And I told them, well, you take the bags and check them in, and I'm here a long way down to American County. And they certify them, and then I ran back down. We got on that plane, got home. But we would have been called there, but I really wanted to be a call there. Bill Dickey's been up there. I used to go by and see him a lot. And he was, well, the last month he lived, he didn't know anybody, so I quit going. But before that, he really enjoyed people he knew coming by to see him. And not strangers, anybody.
Sure.
But Bill and I had been friends for years and years.
Well, he was a great country going.
Right.
Well, I really, and I say that because I'm almost asking that. I know that he was with all the credentials, but I don't think I ever appreciated it. Because I've never studied his career. I've never,
but he was. Well, you studied his career.
It was wild just to look at
him. A great hitter, too. Over 300 lifetime hitter. And he played every day. He was like Yogi. They had a backup catcher, but he didn't catch. Ralph Houck was the backup catcher to Yogi. He didn't catch 10 games a year. Can't remember who the backup catcher Bill, I should, because we talked about him after Bill was glad. He said, that guy said, I almost hope you get a broken leg.
I need to play. I need to play to make some money.
And but Bill played every day.
How big of a fellow was he?
How big of a fellow was he? Well, he was about 6'2 or 3, lanky.
Not heavy, but strong.
No, he wasn't even stocky, he was lanky. He was more of a Gary Cooper type or something like that.
Good armor type.
Good arm, good left-handed hitter. And I think a lot of time average around 313. Look at that, there's right in that range.
Yeah.
Boy, he played on some good Yankee teams too. I know they won the World Series 36, 7, 8, and 9. They did not win in 40, but Detroit did. And then they won 41, 42, and 43. And he played on all 7 of those. He could have played. They won the 40 and 30. Two, like the Cubs. 33, the one. I don't know whether he was there then or not, but I'm too sure he was. I think he came up about 29. Played for 40. Well, he played until 42 or 3. Then he managed the short time. He was coach, and they fired that.